Allison Rosen. Hey everyone, it's me, Allison, from Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. On Monday, I sat down with our very own Dawson, and we talked about all sorts of stuff, including Corolla digital farting etiquette, never taking the first offer, and how he got into radio.
I was probably 5 years old. I'd need to check with my mom, but we're driving around in the Opel, and a radio DJ would come on, and he'd say something, and I remember turning down the radio and then saying what he said and trying to say it better. Uh-huh. My mom kind of laughed and said, I know what you're going to be. And it turned out that way.
And then on Thursday, I was joined by Gary, Chris, Matt, and Jenna, and we learned that Chris knows every single line of Mighty Ducks 2. Subscribe to Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend on iTunes or go to AllisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I love you.
Allison's your new best friend.
This is Corolla Digital.
Taking calls, home improvement tips, straight from the ace man's lips to those in need. They cover it all, A to Z, roof to basement and in between. Raise on the ladder and Ace got the hammer. Fixing your trouble with hilarious banter. So send your emails to the Porcelain Punisher with his old buddy Ray. It's Ace on the House.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Now, George, we're going to mandate. Get it on, baby. Look at
What's
Ray
happening?
Over there. Time for a haircut, bucko.
Time for a new Rams beanie, dude.
Oh,
why are you sporting the beanie lately? What happened to the cat?
I started wearing during the Christmas break. I did something I rarely do, which is I went out and I went shopping for socks and underpants.
Oh, okay, the staples.
Yeah, well, what I and some shorts to skip my rope. You know, I'm not into the tidy whities anymore. I was never into the boxers. Call me, I don't know what, but I never understood the concept of the boxer. It was like sort of wearing shorts underneath your pants.
Yeah.
The part where you got no support, and then there was that hole in the middle, and your wang would hang out
and up, chafe against
of the hole.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that. It was like somehow your dick popping out of your boxer pee hole. Even if you didn't feel anything, I'd always say to Dr. Drew, how come when you put your finger down your throat, you start to gag, even if you're not touching anything? You got the gag reflex. Not like when you're trying to make yourself heave after you've been drinking too much. You know.
Yeah, I got you.
Like, not last night, but probably over the weekend where you went like,
I got to get rid of this.
You can feel the gag with no contact. No contact, just the knowledge of your forefinger going down your throat, making no contact with any part of your throat, and you start to heave. I feel
especially
the same way
when there's cock in your face. When there's same deal.
No, I'm saying when the cock goes
face,
down the throat, and even when the cock
going.
Is touching nothing, I want to heave, and that drove me out of the business almost immediately. But when the wang is outside of the hole, of the pee hole in the boxers, even if it's not touching anything, it still feels weird, cosmically. So what I do, thank God they've invented, it's weird. There was
the midways.
There was like one type of underpants for 300 years. And then,
but who says underpants? Nobody
right,
says
underwear.
Underpants.
There was one kind of underwear for 300 years. And then they came out, I guess, with boxers. I don't know. And now there's 750 different styles. The Under Armour, you know, they wick away moisture, blah, blah, blah. But either way, I like the ones that are sort of between a midway and a bike riding short, like
and
a cycling shorts.
Oh,
no, not the brief. I don't want them coming up on the side of the leg. I want them down low. It's good for skipping rope. Yeah, Ray's showing me now what he's got. I'd show you now, but I don't have anything. Yeah, but see, Ray, it's
like
riding.
These,
it's riding up.
I know they ride up.
It's riding
get
up.
Old.
What I'm saying is, the best thing you can wear is kind of that cycling short underneath your junk. Now, underneath your trunks, when you're skipping rope, because when you're skipping rope, you don't want your junk flopping around, and when it's shifting around, it's no good either. So I went out and I bought that. I bought some socks. I don't like the fact, you know, everybody's, everyone wants to be tall, everyone wants to be this, and everyone wants to be that. But you should really be 5'10" and have a size 9 foot. Because when you buy the socks are always 6 to 12, which I don't buy, by the way. It is literally, that's 100%, right? I mean, size 6 to size 12 is like saying, well, you know, as a woman, I'm attracted to 6 foot men and 3 foot men.
Exactly.
I don't buy that. I don't buy that they cover that much ground in their sock. But as a guy who has a size 11 foot, I know I'm getting ripped off. Because I know that the sock that's supposed to be comfortable for the guy with the size 6 foot can't be comfortable for the guy with the 11 foot.
Well, I got the problem. I got a 13, so I got to get the 13 to 16. And then sometimes they're too big.
But at least that's a smaller window. See, that's my whole point. The size 6 to 12 is too small for the size 11. But if I step up to the 12 or 13, I'm swimming in that bitch. Anyway, I got some of those socks. I got the underpants. I got a couple of shorts. Oh, it's also one of these things, too, where shit's expensive. Like, you look at the thing, you got the shorts.
Where'd you go?
I went to, like, the sports chalet or the short chalet. And it's like, you look at the, you just want some generic shorts to skip rope in. You're not doing anything. You're not looking good down at the court or heading down to the park or anything. It's like $36. All I want is something that's going to stay on while I jump up and down. But either way, I get that. And then I go for the ski beanie. And I picked out Lynette's least favorite color on the planet, which is a weird burnt orange.
Because she doesn't look good in it.
I don't know what it is, but I like
it. You look good in it because you have dark hair.
It's a shitty looking, rusty, burnt looking. I bought it more for the size and the texture, but a lot of tweets tell me to burn it and get rid of it and blah, blah, blah. So I switched over from that beanie to this beanie. And, you know, my hair looks weird unless you put product in it, and I don't want to put product in it. I put product in it when I film something, but when I don't film something, I don't put product in it.
Yeah, you got a fro.
So I'm moving on.
You got like a loose, you got a jerry curl.
Now, I got a pack of pubes on my head that needs to be moistened, otherwise it looks weird and puby and fly away. All right, Ray, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm working on the floor of the other warehouse, and it's a big, expansive area, and all the treatments are super expensive, you know, all the two-part this with the that and everything else. I want to patch it, you know, skim it, patch it, you know, grind off, you know, some of the tough parts, you know, feather float it, you know, have Rob's uncle does flooring, do a good job on it, prepping it, and then I think I want to paint it. I mean, literally.
I don't even think you should paint it. I think you should just go
clear.
By the way, yeah, Home Depot, grind the whole thing down. Sand it all down a little bit.
But you can't rent those floor grinders. Or
yeah, you can.
Really?
Gary.
Are they wet now? Or they,
yeah.
You hook a hose up to them?
I don't know if they have that kind of breakdown, but I know you can rent them.
They got a good vacuum dust control,
yeah,
or whatever?
They do. Absolutely.
How far do you have to grind that? What Ray's talking about.
Grind the whole thing down mildly. And then you know what? They have a good sealer that's lacquer based that has sand in it. Yeah.
Let me ask this.
Awesome. Super expensive.
Let me
Super
say this.
Toxic.
Hold on a second. Let me say this. I did this the other day to the guys on the crew when we were shooting our contractor show. You ever do that move where you go, hey, hey, and then everyone just goes, yeah, that's we're shooting. And if you guys know what Ray's talking about with the grinding, here's how you can tell what Ray's talking about. If you ever go to a neighborhood where like a tree root is pushing up the sidewalk, right, and it's making that sharp edge that grandma's going to catch her heel on when she's walking her dog. Sometimes if you live in a fair to Midland city, what they'll come do is they'll come out, city will come out, and they'll, like, grind that lip off. So you'll see it in certain places. Sometimes where the sidewalk dips down, where we're supposed to be handicapped,
yeah,
you know, accessible.
Yeah, they got that channeled
stuff.
Scarfer. That's a different thing.
Either way, you see the aggregate.
Right.
Come right out. So the sidewalk just looks smooth and gray and consistent. When you get up to the hump where the root is, where they ground it down, all of a sudden it looks like a bunch of little half stones in there, embedded in there. That's the aggregate. And what I did to everybody on the crew who was staying around with me when we were going to film something, I said, now look down. They looked at it. It looked okay. I said, all right, looks all right. You can kind of see the aggregate coming out of it. Then I took my water bottle and I dumped it on it. And all of a sudden, it looked really cool. It got wet. You could see the definition of the aggregate that was brought out. And I said, that's what it looks like when you grind down a concrete floor in like a garage and then put clear over it. It has that look. It's a great look. But the question is, how far down do you have to get to that?
I think you give it one solid grind, but then you know what you should do? You should acid etch it.
But
and then etch it and seal it.
But there's a lot of like cracks and fissures and stuff that need to be.
Fill them with epoxy.
But then if you fill them with epoxy and you grind,
it's a great look.
Okay. And then go with the clear.
Yeah. Absolutely.
One part.
Yeah. One part. Desert products.
Few coats. And the stuff's $100 a gallon or whatever it is.
Like 60.
But it's expensive shit.
Yeah.
But go with the grind.
Yeah. Go with the grind, then etch it with the acid.
How do you etch it with the acid?
Just throw the acid on, rinse it off.
Uh-huh.
Neutralize it.
Oh, then, to neutralize it.
No, then you have to neutralize it.
Then you neutralize it. Then you put the clear on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shop vacs,
wet vacs. What about some color?
No color.
What about a border?
If you etch it, you can actually put color in it.
About like a 3-foot border that has some color.
You can do that. Prosoco, good products too.
Who make floor paint.
Yeah, for stains.
I like the paint part if I'm going to do the border.
Just do the border.
All right, but get the grinder.
Get the grinder.
Home Depot.
Home Depot, sell it. Yeah, Gary, rent it.
Let's see if the local one rents it.
They have it.
All right. Now, they must have it for something other than what we're using it for.
No, they don't. It's for that.
No, it's for that, but it's not for me, and the handful of gay guys that appreciate this look. It's for the guys that are going to put some flooring on or carpet on and just have a bad slab.
I think it's just more popular now. I really do. I think it's really caught on. Not even caught on. Downtown, it's all over the place.
Don't you think they're just grinding?
Every store has
okay.
it.
Okay. All right.
You know, go to Melrose or Beverly.
Go to the trendy places.
Yeah, that's what they have.
You know what it is? It started with the ceiling and moved down to the floor. Dig. In the 80s, in the 90s, and beyond, when they were doing all these buildings from the 20s and the 30s, somebody went, whoa. The big wood trusses up there that were painted and had to drop ceilings and all that kind of shit or drywalled over. Expose them. Sandblast them. Leave it exposed. You know, leave those big wooden trusses up there like you see in the trendy restaurants when you go to Melrose or the West Side or whatever. Leave that big wooden thing exposed up there and sandblast the 1x6 diagonal sheathing on top of it and stuff
awesome.
Like that.
Right, exposed
went,
duck thing.
Yeah, everyone went, ooh, yeah, let's go with like an industrial look. And then, I don't know why eating in like a 40s Russian military factory is a good look. But I don't know why, but it became cool. So they did that. And then they moved their way down the wall. Ooh, let's take that sandblaster and hit that brick. Expose that brick. Give that look. But then when it got to the flooring, out came the gray carpet.
Right.
Now they're going ceiling all the way down to the floor.
Yeah,
original slab, grind it.
Essence.
Put the clear on there.
You know what else I like? I like exposed EMT.
Mm.
Instead of wires in the walls. Just get the pipe out there.
Yeah, that's electronic whatever tubing. I always screw that one up. But anyway, that's rigid conduit. I always want to say, metallic.
Electrical metallic tubing.
Yeah, that's EMT. All right, questions.
Metal. I think it's metal, not metallic.
Metal?
Yeah.
Metal. I think it's
tubing.
Metallic.
All right, let's look that one up.
All right. Now we're
metallic
gonna have to look up.
Is what something looks like.
I don't know. We'll have to look it up. All right, EMT, look it up.
I'm right?
We got to look it up.
No, I'm just saying Gary's looking for it right now.
They're looking for it. These guys, they're good, but they're not that good. Hey, you want to support the show? Visit aceontheroof.com, click the PayPal button, and subscribe. Let's get Ray a house, baby.
Yeah.
I see Ray getting the keys to his very first house. spending the night there, glorious night there, and then the following day, it's off to the home. It's off to the retirement village. He gets one night in his new home, and then the next day, it's off to Green Acres.
Like squatting.
Shady Acres. Yes.
But my Shady Acres will be at your house. So how's that going?
Sad.
EMT, electrical metallic tubing.
Yeah!
Fuck!
Yeah! Yeah! This makes up for all of them. All of them.
Good job, Ace Man.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what about the grinding machine? Good job, Ace Man.
All right.
Do they have it?
Yeah. Well, we know they have that one.
All right.
We just want to make sure they have one out here. Squarespace, all-in-one platform.
Damn.
That makes it fast and easy to create your own pro website. That's what you guys need these days. So easy to start a business. Just get a good website, good set of cards, and you're done, man. Beautiful designs and styles, options to create a unique website for your business. It's easy to use. You want help? They can help you. They got a team of over 100 employees available 24/7, or we like to round up. We like to go 25/10. Possibly 30/10. We'll figure that one out. And you can start for just $8 a month and includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. So you can get a free trial. No credit card required. Start building your website today. Use the offer code ACE1. That's the number one for 10% off your first purchase. And show your support for the show on, please, Ace on the House. Show your love. Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. All right, we got Ray. What are you working on?
I'm still out in Calabasas. I'm in Tujunga, and I am in the Birds up off Doheny Sunset. I'm all over the fucking place.
Oh, the Birds. Yeah, those are average price of house up there is $5.5 million.
Something like that.
Nice view.
Yeah, beautiful view.
Tough parking, though, man.
Crazy parking. You got to park in their driveway. You can't park on the street.
And there ain't a whole lot of driveway. I'm doing this contractor show. Oh, man, we're seeing a lot of bad contracting going on.
You in North Hollywood? Where are you? Where's the location?
No, I just got a fucking email that said, just a heads up, we may be going to San Bernardino. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? San Bernardino. It really just, if you're going to San Bernardino, you should have lunch in Vegas. It's easier. Jesus, goddamn Christ. All right. You know, I feel like everyone's goal is to get me to never see them again. I feel like everyone's goal is to have me think about them and go, well, this will never happen again.
Do you just think San Bernardino for the rest of the day? Does that just haunt you at some level?
Well, it's like a 3-day. It's go see the house, go get the, yes, I'm haunted. Well, the first thing I thought of is I'm done writing my book. And by the way, President Me, you can pre-order it on Amazon, and we'll get to the New York Times bestseller list. So that'll be nice. Thank you in advance for that. But in the past, when I'd have these crazy long commutes in my car to do this show, the blow would be softened by the amount of work I'd be able to get done on my book with Mike Lynch, who's in Lowell, Massachusetts. When I would drive home on my 3-hour commute home in traffic, I would work on the book. So I would kind of go, well, let's weigh the fuck out of town. On the other hand, this is, you know, a month ago, I got this book. This book is 75,000 words. That's the commitment with the publisher. I think we ended up coming in at 94,000. It'll probably get whacked down a little from that, but when I knew I had something in the past, when we were going to fucking Dana Point, I knew I had something to do on my 2.5-hour commute back to Glendale at 5:00. I had to work on my book. Now I got nothing to do. So I'm going to have to line up something to do.
Learn Spanish.
Get the Berlitz tapes. Yeah, I'm going to have to do something in my car because I can't stand the lost productivity. But if you do it right, and you got a cell phone, and you got stuff lined up, you can line up a bunch of interviews and a bunch of work and a bunch of whatever it is you got to do and get a lot done while you're captive in your gilded cage.
Hey, gilded cage guy, do you ever have somebody drive for you, or is that rare?
No. I cannot.
You hate that.
I hate it. They're such shitty drivers. I can do it in New York.
Right, or a city you don't know.
No, I can do it in New York because they drive hard
okay.
in New York. Here, they're such fucking chicken shit pussies, the town car guys. It's like, I just sit in the back of these town cars on the freeway and have like fucking vans filled with Mexicans go with a Space Saver tire just blowing. They just blow past you. And every time they blow past us, I do the both hands in the air. Hey, there you go. And the guy's driving the car is just driving the car. And then another guy blows by. And I'm not talking about fucking smoking the bandit. And I'm not talking about against all odds with the James Woods. And Jeff, what's the name of the 308, the 911 bridges, and on. I'm just talking about regular old folk and fucking beat up old Pontiac just fucking flying past you. And I'm just going to, I've said to the drivers, can you speed up? You know, and they're like, yeah, okay. They don't speak any fucking English and they drive so shitty. And they see that thing where they're coming up on the signal and they could make it and they stop. I can't take it in my soul. And I know what's going on. Ray, riddle me this. You guys, look, you want to know where your answer is. You pick your variable. You pick the fucking variable. Now listen to me. All right. What's the difference between New York, where they drive like possessed maniacs, and Los Angeles, where they drive like fucking turtles with popsicles up their ass? What is the difference?
Got shit to do.
No, they got shit to do in L.A. They got shit to do in New York. They're cab drivers. They make their money on how many times they can get back and forth to the airport. Okay. If they get back and forth five times in a day,
making more money
versus three times or seven times versus five times. Let's all try to figure out the variable. Use your brain. What is the is there a cultural?
So town car is giving you a flat rate or whatever. He don't care. He's not on his hustle. And you know the car over in New York's getting it. You know how many times they have it. You get five times to the airport. You're making more money.
Ray, let's try to figure out the variable here.
I'm done. I already told you.
Is it the equipment?
No.
Is it the nationality? The kooky nationality of the person that's piloting the
possibly.
Equipment. Possibly.
All right, most definitely.
Most definitely. Why? It's just kooky nationality and kooky nationality.
Okay, that's not it.
All right. Now, we're going back to your theory where you shit on my theory about how many times you go back and forth the airport doesn't count in Los Angeles, but it does count in New York, although I don't know how that works. Your cab
that's
driver.
Not it. That's
okay,
not
that's
it.
Not it. So, if the equipment's the same, the kooky nationality's the same, and the motivation of getting back and forth from the airport is the same, what is the variable? Why are they so much slower in Los Angeles than they are in New York City?
Matt?
I will provide the answer. Chicken shit cops.
Oh, come on, yeah?
You don't get tickets in New York. Those guys drive like fucking madmen in that city, and nobody ever gets pulled over. They drive possessed in that city. L.A., when I was driving home from Vegas, CHP declared it a zero-tolerance zone. By the way, suck my dick,
wait,
CHP.
Wait, where's the zero-tolerance zone?
Blow my chode. You pussies work for me, by the way. We're not fucking supposed to be scared of you. This driving home on the 15th is a zero-tolerance zone by the CHP. Fuck you.
How much was your ticket?
We can get a ticket.
Oh, okay.
This is zero tolerance zone. Fuck you. You notice these guys are turning into the Gestapo over here? They're having less and less tolerance for the people they're supposed to be protecting. They don't tolerate us anymore. How about we fucking stop tolerating you and stop paying your fucking pussy ass, you high school dropouts? Fuck you. So, and stop hiding behind safety. New York's fine. They let them drive in New York. They don't hand out chicken shit tickets. If you drive for a living and you get a couple of moving violations in a month, you're fucked.
Yeah.
All right. They know
your
that here.
Goes up,
we have overzealous cops that don't do police work. They do the right. They do. They raise money here. They don't police. They are running a for-profit charity called the City of Los Angeles. They raise money. They're money raisers. Over there, they're keepers of the peace. Over here, they're breaking off a piece.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's
Hey, when's the last time you got a ticket?
Oh, I don't get tickets because I have a fucking radar detector that detects pussies.
Got it.
It's not a radar detector. It's a fucking chicken shit pussy detector. And I see these assholes hiding. And the thing starts going off. Yeah, it's the rape dart detector. It's rape detector.
Got it.
Not radar.
When's the last time you got pulled over?
I don't get pulled over because I fucking drive. I know, first off, I know where the asshole chicken shit cops are. They're Burbank, Glendale, and Santa Monica, where they're fucking insane. They're I mean, it's not their fault. They were told to go raise money. So I drive.
You think there's quotas?
Fuck yeah, there's quotas. Here's the quota. Don't write a ticket for a month and see what happens. There's your quota.
Got it.
See if everything's cool. And then when you get on the highway, it's all radar detector. Everyone go get a radar detector. Look, they're going to fucking not do their... They're not protecting shit. They're hiding under the overpass. Fuck them and their pussy shit technology. Go get one. Go to Amazon.com. Keep the pirate ship alive.
Get the radar
detector.
Click
through. Yeah. We use Valentine here. Valentine, Gary has one. I have one. If something happens, we're going on a road trip, I'll grab one from his car, put it in my car. Don't get fucking chicken shit tickets. Fuck them. It's us against them. They started it. They drew first blood.
You're right.
I'm all right. I don't like the idea that our cops are here to fuck with us.
That's
all I
weird.
Do is fucking pay taxes. Fuck you. And by the way, we know who these guys are. The best and the brightest from your high school.
Yeah. I got you.
The fucking doofuses you went to high school with. Please. All right, where was I? Ah, phone calls, emails. What do we got?
Let's start out with a video question.
Mm-hmm.
We got one from a guy named Darren in Oregon.
What's up?
Outside
Ray,
of a nice,
Adam.
Modern-looking house in Oregon.
So here's my entry to my house that I've been working on for the past few months. And did these concrete blocks here. I'm growing moss on these, and I've got concrete on the top. And under the edge here, I put rope light, LED rope light.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that you can see the actual bulbs from a distance when you're walking down the sidewalk, and it looks kind of crappy. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to find a way to kind of block the view of the light in a, pretty cheap way. And I went to Home Depot, and I found some of this J trim for sheetrocking,
mm-hmm.
and I decided I would just, secure it onto the bottom of the concrete, and gives it a nice little finished look on the bottom, and it blocks the light, but lets the glow come out. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to fasten it up there, not so easy. Like, I used JB Weld in spots, and then I ran some concrete sealant caulk down here, but after a couple days, these are just falling off.
Yeah.
And, not quite sure the best way to adhere these this metal trim to the bottom of the concrete there.
All right. Pause it for a second. All right, so he's got these big outside planters. He's doing this kind of rope lighting, LED rope lighting, which is cool. If you guys have it makes a nice halo effect if you have like a house and you want to do like a molding, like a crown molding, but not run it all the way through,
hold it down a little base.
And do it around the top there and just kind of glows the room. It's nice looking, and there's lots of cool stuff you can do with that. Now he's tucked it up underneath this block, but it's kind of hanging down. He likes the glow of it, but he doesn't want them to see the actual rope. He got some Milcor or some J molding or whatever. It's a drywall molding, and he put it up there.
He got the channel, though. He should just get the L, like you're saying.
No, he got the J mold, and he's trying to put the edge up there.
Right. But
yeah.
He didn't. I don't think he got the J.
He
got the one.
He said he got the J.
No, he didn't.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Now we got to play it again.
He absolutely did.
Ray, your tune out factor is fucking off the fucking charts.
Ace, if he did, then he could have room to put a TapCon or two.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because he got the U channel, so he can't get a screw there.
All right, here it is.
But it's a U, it's not an L.
In a, pretty cheap way. And I went to Home Depot, and I found some of this J trim for sheetrocking.
But it is
and
J, but he can't
just,
have access
secure it
there,
onto the bottom of the concrete. And...
All right, but he said J trim, J channel. All right, what do you want, U?
No, I just want an L.
You want L?
Yeah.
And you put the L side up and let the flat side hang down.
Right. And then he has access, so he can throw some Tapcons. You can't JB weld it or anything.
He's going to fall off in days. No, I know. You can't. Okay, now here's what you can't do to attach this kind of stuff. And, you know, maybe you should be getting some L-shaped, like, extruded aluminum or something.
Aluminum will be a little better edge
to it. So,
and it wouldn't rot out.
Right, because this stuff is sort of bonderized or galvanized or something, but it's such thin.
Yeah, it's going to turn color, too, and it's going to rot out.
All right, let's say you got some L metal, and it was aluminum, and you can get that stuff. By the way, there are metal supply places that have shapes you can't believe and gauges you can't believe, everything you want, and you can get long lengths, too. But, okay, let's say you get that. Now you're going to attach it. The way I would attach this thing, obviously you can't shoot it with your powder-actuated pin gun, your Hilti gun, kaboom. That's just going to chunk. It's going to chunk off and fuck up, and that's no good. The way I would do it, there's two ways I would do it. You ready, Ray?
Yeah.
First, I would clean the shit out of the underside of the thing I was attaching it to. I just make sure there's nothing loose and no dirt, no scubba on the underside of that thing. Rag, lacquer thinner, whatever you want to use. Under there. Now, there's two ways. One is, as Ray said, Tapcons. There's all kinds of ways to attach stuff to masonry now that don't involve drilling and putting in a sleeve like we used to in the old days. And Tapcon,
lead anchor or whatever,
is a nice way to do that. There's another way to do things. It's interesting. I've kind of learned it. You work in a house and you live in a house that has a lot of like concrete walls, thick walls, masonry walls, or even lath and plaster, but thick, and you don't want to be drilling holes, making a mess, in other words. And the thing you're putting on there is like a big framed picture or mirror or something. It's heavy. What I did, Ray, and it worked out really nicely, is silicone will fucking hold anything if you do it right.
It will.
But the problem is the drying. Silicone takes like a good 24 hours to really set up. Sometimes even more. I mean, silicone takes a while to dry. So how do you hold something in place while the silicone is happening? For me, I got a really good, not really good, it's probably $29 or $39, hot glue gun. The kind that have a base, but not a cord attached to them. And they have different cartridges, 90-second cartridge, wood cartridge, plastic cartridge, or whatever. But the one that's good for 5 minutes and the one that sets up in 30 seconds, you know. And if you're – now I'm shifting gears here. But if you're going to hang a mirror on the wall and it's like heavy and you can't drill into the wall and put hooks and shit like that, put a nice big swatches of silicone back there, you know. Four good corners of just like a
like
a chihuahua took, like you fed a chihuahua nothing but silicone and just shit. Big in all four corners, right? Now take your hot glue gun and quickly, boom, 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 hold it against the wall. The hot glue will set up in 30, 40, 50 seconds, act like a clamp while the silicone sets up overnight and does the long-term holding.
Gotcha. That's a great idea, by the way.
It is. I don't think I came up with it, but it's a good idea because, like I said, you could fucking mount a piece of plywood on your wall with some silicone on it and mount a flat-screen TV to it, and it would hold if you let it set up. But how do you get it to set up? I would get the aluminum here. I would do the L, like Ray said. I would do the silicone, clear silicone, like I said. And then I think I would just see if I could clamp it. Just get some of those little plastic, whatever clamps, every 3 feet, 4 feet,
right,
and just let it set up. Let it set up overnight. Once you get that a good fat rope of silicone down the front of that thing, and you just leave those clamps on 24 hours,
it's not going anywhere.
I think you're done. If you want to set a little Tapcon in there, that's fine. It's going to be tough drilling, and you have the chance of busting out the edge a little bit. All right, what else do we got?
Well, you know, normally we do an email, but we got a full line of calls, so we'll skip the email.
All right.
And we'll go straight to my favorite segment.
Ooh. All right. Gentlemen, grab your hardwood. It's time for Just the Tip.
Just the Tip.
Going on, man. What do you got first, Ray?
When you're doing a shingle roof, Ace,
mm-hmm.
you got cuts involved, right?
You're doing asphalt shingle?
Yeah.
All right.
You're going to have cuts. So to save your knees and not cut in place on the roof, what you do is you mock up your pitch on a bench, and you stand there on the bench, rip your cuts, throw them up.
You mock up your pitch on a bench.
Right.
What kind of bench?
Just a wood bench, whatever your pitch might be.
Uh-huh. Put you mean on. You use a bench and you simulate
the pitch
of the roof.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So for all your cuts, you can
If your pitch is for every foot, it drops an inch or 3 inches or whatever it is, you simulate that on an 8-foot piece or something?
Sure. Or a 4-foot because your shingles are only like 2x4.
Right, right, right.
And then you mock them up there, cut them on the ground on your bench. Save your knees. You're not bending around up there and doing all that stuff. Throw them up.
Yeah, but wait a minute. I feel like everyone listening, I feel like roofers would know that, and then everyone who's listening is going to hire a roofer.
That's what they should do anyway.
That's what I'm saying. All right, so that's not a tip. We need a tip. Household tip.
Household tip?
Yeah, this is a roofing tip. I still don't really even get it. The shingle, the pitch, the asphalt shingle.
All right, forget it. We got another tip then.
How's this pitch one work?
Forget about it. We're going to the next one.
Okay.
Microwave. When using the microwave, you know you do that on the job site too? You bring cold pizza for the guys?
Yeah, that's right. Got it. You got to zap it in the microwave.
So you zap it in the microwave. You know the crust always turns out shitty and it's all chewy? You know what you do? Put a cup of water in with it. Keeps the crust moist.
Now we're talking. I usually just do the drizzle of water.
A cup of water in there.
I'll tell you my move. It's every fucking time. Dickie from the Boston's told me, because you travel so much, and it's like you go to Vegas and the air, you're up in that room and that air is just blowing all fucking night because it's 117 degrees outside. And you're like me and all the great thinkers. You sleep with your mouth wide open. Great thinkers. With their mouth wide open. So I sleep. I don't breathe through my nose. I sleep like.
Yeah, you're a gape.
And I'm a gape the whole night. And then I wake up, you know, somewhere like 4:30 in the morning. Because, of course, you know, there's travel. There's hotel. There's been some drinking involved the night before. And then I wake up with that crazy cotton mouth.
Yeah, you're parched beyond.
Tongue cleaving to the roof of the mouth. With the air blowing, the vent blowing in your mouth all night.
It won't even separate.
Or you're going to the Minneapolis and it's 13 below and the heater's blowing all fucking night. And you had, you know, 14 Miller Lights and you're like. All right. So Dickie said to me, you know, he's in a band. He's on the road. He said, take a glass of water and just dump it on the carpet right by the bed, you know, right by where your head's going to be on the carpet. Over the course of the night, it'll just evaporate. You'll just get that cup of water just sort of up
moisturize the air
into the room. It's great, but what happens to me every single time is I dump the cup of water, I get into bed and I go, I better take a piss, and then I get out of bed in my socks. And I step right into the water, and my socks get fucking soak up all the water.
Pants.
And then I go take my piss, and now the socks are coming off, or I'm putting on a new pair of socks.
Wait, you sleep with socks on?
I am so.
Do you really?
I am so fucking lazy. Most of the time, I will have a flight out of like Atlantic City or wherever I am at the crack of dawn. And I'll be going to bed after two shows at 2 a.m. And I'm literally like, a lot of time, I'm meeting Mike August in the lobby at 5 a.m.
Right.
I'll fucking leave my socks on as a practical time
You're sleeping
saver.
Your clothes. Yeah, I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I'm not dealing with it. Anyway, outro.
But at home, you sleep with socks on?
It's been a tip.
I am weird. In that I look at putting on socks and taking off socks as sort of the longest, the biggest waste of time of my day. And if I'm up and out the next morning and I have socks on and they're not in bad shape, like I didn't do anything with them. Yeah.
They're staying on.
I am with you, Ray. I do fluctuate in between the socks and the no socks.
Some of it's a winter. I can't have anything on my feet.
Some of it's a winter summer thing. All right. We got to go take some phone calls. Let me give a little love to one of our sponsors. Let me tell you this. Buffalo, Irvine, Vegas, we're doing the live podcast. Also, Detroit, doing some stand-up. That's coming up in January 30th. And you can go to my website, find out the live dates. Mangria Events, Seattle, coming back to you, baby. That is Saturday, January 25th at Wine World and Spirits. That's coming up. And then all the events where we're going out and doing the podcast or doing a stand-up, there will be a Mangria event. So just go to CorollaDrinks.com or just go to live events at AdamCorolla.com and you find out where I'm going to be signing bottles before we get to the actual venue, the theater, and do the show. All right, let's see. Line one, Philip, 29 from Visalia. What's going on, Philip?
Yes, sir.
What's happening,
Have
man?
Have you ever been injured on the job while you were doing construction?
I should have been.
You kind of were.
I was. I was once. I mean, I've had a lot of fucking, you know, hit my thumb with the hammer and that kind of shit. And I should have been injured more because I never wore eye protection or gloves. I never owned a pair of gloves. I never wore ear protection. You know, if I was cutting something and sparks were flying out, I'd turn my head while I was cutting, you know, but I wouldn't have eye protection or anything. But yeah, I fell out the window on some scaffolding, one of our buddies. The guy, I'll put it to you this way. The guy's a nurse now, so that's how
my
good a carpenter he was.
By the way.
Yeah.
Scaffolding.
Yeah. Who could forget? our buddy, if I knew now what I knew then, I would have never gone out on his scaffolding because he was a bad carpenter. But, well, to be fair to him, I can't figure out if John was a bad carpenter. He just like, John was one of these guys where I'd have him working on the house. I don't think he was a particularly good carpenter. I don't know that he was a bad carpenter.
Fantastic socializer.
But what would happen, what started happening to me is I'd show up to the house he was working on, namely my house, and he'd be like out front, we'd be talking, you know, and all of a sudden some chick be walking her dog. Hey, Lisa, how you doing? Say hi to Freddie. How's little Amy doing? Good. Yeah, I know. No, whooping coughs, something we all have. Anyway, give her my love. Yeah, no, I'll see you.
I'll see you on Saturday. I'll be at the barbecue.
And they just go walking by with their dog. And he'd be like, hey, Shemp. Hey, Shemp. Who's a good boy?
So
who's
a
good boy?
White Aussie.
And then some fucking other dude would come down the street on like a moped. And he'd be like, hey, Dirk. How's it hanging? Give him hell over at Comic-Con this weekend. And they'd be like, I was like, how do you know all these people? How do you know these people? I live here. I don't know any of these people. How do you know everyone's name? It's like, well, that's Lisa and Dirk. Well, there's one person in between them, Freddie.
They just moved in.
But their neighbors, they just moved in, and then they invited me over, and then they have a special needs son. And it's like, the fuck are you doing all day? And I realized every fucking time I pulled up, he had a cup of coffee in his hand, and he was chatting up a neighbor.
Yeah.
And that's, but don't let that guy build you scaffolding.
Hmm.
Gary, John, Ozzy, and you have a woodworking, you have a building project.
Yeah. Who
are you going to lose more money on?
Did you ever pull pranks on people?
Hold on a second. I went right to do some soul searching here. Right. These are all guys we've known and worked with for 25 years.
All right, Gary, the project's going to have to be done 4 times. Ozzy, it's never going to get off the ground.
Who are you going to lose more money on?
John could sue you. So, it's a tie. It's a coin toss between John and Ozzy.
Oh, really? Ruled Gary out? See, I think I could coach Gary up and get it done.
Yeah. So I think Gary could get it done also.
Oh, okay.
Eventually.
Okay.
Eventually.
Okay.
The other two, probably not getting done.
Right.
And
yeah.
Coin toss as to who would cost you more.
Okay. So either way, he built the scaffolding. I got on the scaffolding, fell out the window, and had the skill saw land on cement. There were cement stairs at a Silver Lake house to cushion my fall. Thank God.
Did you get bruised up? I remember I had a 48-foot ladder, right, fully extended, and it was racked a little bit. and it was summertime, and I was barefoot. Imagine that. So I had to go up to let it down.
Barefoot and on the ladder.
And you had to pop the ladder off just so you could pull it down. So
it's an extension ladder and a 48-foot.
Two-tier. Two-tier.
That is, wow, man.
It's
like
200 pounds
almost. 28-foot pieces, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be longer than 12 and 12, right?
44-foot maximum or something like that.
Yeah, but 44-foot maximum means two that aren't 22 feet.
They're like 24.
They got to have overlap.
Yeah, they do. Well, they have to.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm walking the ladder down, and so I think it's fine. I think I'm all right. So I start walking down. Rungs start coming after me. Boom, throw my arm up, you know, because I didn't want to bust my feet.
Right.
And,
barefoot, sure.
Yeah, barefoot. And tore my whole forearm skin off.
Yeah.
But fine. No worse for wear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ray never wore boots. I never wore glasses. I never even had gloves. They didn't have all these fucking mechanics gloves and gloves with the thumb cut off and all the ones that you could work in and stuff.
They didn't have shoes.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So during the Adam Carolla Project, your home improvement show, there was a episode where you took Ray to the boot warehouse and bought him boots.
Out of my own fucking pocket, like $150 boots.
That's correct. And it felt like it was something the producers had kind of insisted on as well. I want to know, did Ray actually wear those boots for the balance of that show?
No.
No, he tried for a day.
They hurt my feet.
They got blisters.
$150 he tried for one day?
Yeah, man. I got to get a stunt guy to wear them.
Break them in.
Come on.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't wear boots. I have them still, though.
I'll take them back if you can.
They're too big for you.
Make a note. I'd like those boots. We'll auction them off. We'll give the money to charity.
All right.
All righty, then.
But I did that job, by the way, Ace, that paralam, the splinter right through my finger.
Oh, that was Gary at his best. That was Gary at his best. I had ordered. See, the thing about people who can burn you, you can't think of all the ways they can burn you. It's sort of like Silence of the Lambs. You know, you need your own Hannibal Lecter to talk to Gary. Because you think like a sane person, and you can't imagine what they do.
Do you think Gary's gaslighting you at any level?
No.
You don't think so?
I do know that he does a lot of nutty things, but one thing he never does is leave at 3:02. He leaves at 2:58, 2:57, 2:59. He never leaves at 3 p.m.
Right.
That's the one part of his game that he has not lost a step in. I like Gary. He does. He's working for me now, and he's doing a solid job. So I don't want to talk trash about Gary. But I will say this. It was the scene where I had an engineered beam, engineered paralam lumber. It's meaning a beam that's made of many different pieces of wood. There's an order with like a two-week, maybe a three-week lead time. One of them was like a 6x14 or something.
It was healthy.
Big, healthy chunk, and it was like 24 feet long, and that was going in the master bedroom. That was to have the vaulted ceiling in the master bedroom. And that thing was a big old chunk, and that was, what I did, what you do when you order these beams is you go, how long do we need it? And you go, well, we're about 23 foot, maybe an inch above or whatever. And you go, I'll order a 24 footer.
Yeah,
They don't sell it to you from the factory at 23 feet and 3/4 inches. They just give you order by the foot, and it costs you $50 a foot or whatever it costs you. So I said, well, the bedroom's like 22 and a half feet or whatever it was, 23 feet. I'll order 24 footer for the bedroom. And then the living room was a smaller piece. That was like a 4x12, or the kitchen, 4x12. And that
but it was
thing,
two pieces.
No.
They lapped.
No.
All right.
Quiet. That thing came out to like a 15-footer. So I ordered a 16-footer that we cut on the job site. And so you had, now finally, after 3 weeks, they came in. And there they were sitting out in the driveway. 24-footer and like a 18-footer, maybe a 16-footer. So one was clearly longer than the other. And then I measured it out up top again. Knowing I'd have to cut about 10 inches off the end of the thing, I ordered it fat. I ordered it a little bit long. Measured it out in the kitchen, 17 foot, you know, 7 inches. All right, Gary, 17 foot, 7 inches. Thinking he was going to go to the 18 or 19 footer and cut a foot off the end of it. Well, Gary took the 24 footer and decided to cut 7 feet off it. And it's also, it's one of these things where it's like, as you're pulling the tape on it, why would we be, why would I order a beam with an extra 6 feet on it? Like, how much do I have to hate money? And you're cutting it right next to the clearly shorter one that would make this, and you'd simply cut 6 inches off the end of it. So, but I did not internalize people, make everything a learning experience. I did not say, do it off the short one. I just said, the glue lambs are out in the driveway. You know where they are. Cut it at 17.9. He went out there and cut the 26-footer at 17.9. And at a certain point, when we were like hoisting it up, I was like, oh, this thing's a little beefier than I thought. And then I had that moment where I was like, wait a minute. And then I looked out the kitchen window and it was like the, you know, Shining music playing when I saw the 18 footer and I realized, oh, that's not going to make
it. It's the wrong one.
It's the wrong one. And now we're fucked on. Okay.
Made a nice bench.
Where were we? Ah, Maxima Style, baby. Love these guys. They offer the best prices and selection of LED. I'm all LED everywhere, all the time. It never stops with these guys. It's the warehouse. Everything I build, every house I get near, every closet, everything, LED. The only person more obsessed with it may be my wife, Lynette. Oh, that's right. She doesn't give a shit because she doesn't pay for it. But I pay for it, so I'm nuts for it. And the kids, actually, Sonny, I got him coached up pretty good. Shutting every light. But LED, I have the bulbs, I have the exterior bulbs, everything from Maxima Style. You're going to go LED. You're going to. So
if you're in Santa Monica, you have to.
All right, why not go Maxima Style? And this stuff works on the dimmers now. The compact fluorescence, not so much with the dimmer. MAXXIMASTYLE.com, homeowner, contractor. It is where you go, man. You save. Oh, man, consume one-tenth the energy, last 20 times as long. You save money, and you save getting on the ladder and doing all those exterior bulbs or the chandeliers. For the best selection on LED bulbs, MAXXIMASTYLE.com. Use the coupon code ADAM, and you get additional savings. All right, let's plow through our last two calls here. We got Mike, 41, Indiana.
Yeah, I've got a question. I redid my bathroom and put some of this river rock tile down on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And now if the shower drain gets clogged, I can't plunge it because the plunger does not seal around this river rock tile.
Mm.
I was wondering if you had any suggestions or tips on that or just Drano and snake the drain all
Yeah,
the time.
It's a new style. They have the shiny river rock. Comes in, I don't know, one by one with the mesh on there, right? I'm trying to think. And
Okay.
If you do good...
Foot squares.
What's that?
They were foot squares.
Right.
Right.
One by one. I didn't mean one millimeter by one millimeter. All right. And you lay them out. If you do a good job with them, you can't really see the seams or anything. It kind of feels good on your tootsies and all that stuff. But, yeah, how do you plunge it?
You got to run a snake anyway, especially if your shower's clogged.
All right, don't use the Drano stuff.
No.
Don't use that. But the plunger on occasion works.
Plunger only works on a toilet, really. I mean, unless you have food. Okay. In there, and then the plunger will work.
You know, you can get a little snake for home use, by the way. Little auger, hand crank ones, and all that kind of stuff you people should know for just, you know, rather than calling the guy. Now, it's not going to cut up the route that's 100 foot down the main line, but it's good for the close by stuff.
Yeah, the trap. And then also those little, they're the little plastic ones with the hooks on the ends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could put that down there.
Oh, yeah. What are those ones,
though? I forget what they're called.
How far do they go down?
Like 2 feet.
It's just really to get the wife's fucking hair out of there. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Ace Man.
Hey, man. We're coming to Chicago, Park West.
I know. And I'm so disappointed. I'm actually going to be out of town that weekend. I was so excited when I heard you guys were coming.
Oh, man. I'm coming to the Binnie's in Lincoln Park, man.
I was just at Binnie's yesterday and picked up my bottle of Mangria.
Loving you, Ron.
I love that stuff. They finally got it here, so I'm very stoked about that.
Thanks.
Hey, man, I have to lead you one little story. It was kind of funny before I tell you what I'm looking for. I was out for dinner with my wife at a really nice steak joint.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't believe the lady in front of me what she was carrying. I know you're going to know what it was.
Oh, it's a fucking dog.
You got it, man. You got it.
Oh, it's a nice steak joint.
It was, yeah, a really nice restaurant. I couldn't freaking believe it. It was driving me crazy. It's just, I had to think about you.
Steakhouse. You got to bring your fucking dog.
Exactly. She must have anxiety about cutting meat. I don't know.
You can get a shrink's script and carry your fucking dog around, can't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, carry it around on the airplane, on your lap. Meanwhile, I got to put my fucking backpack underneath the seat in front of me. Sir, we need to check that backpack. Really? Because the person has a fucking living, farting, dander-covered backpack on her fucking lap. What's more dangerous when the plane goes down and catches on fire? My fucking backpack that's on my lap or that fucking thing I'm tripping over that's biting my ankles? I'm trying to get out of the fucking back of the plane.
Yeah, exactly.
Are we nuts? We've gone nuts.
You definitely have.
I told, I said yesterday or the other day on the podcast, the smoker's terrarium at the airport where they put all
it's a terrarium.
It's all been replaced. It's all been replaced by the place where the dogs shit. Awesome. Well, we're heading toward the light, everybody. HuffPo, we're heading toward your fucking Valhalla. This is your utopia, you assholes. This is what we look at all this as progress. That's the insane part.
They're seriously designated dog areas now?
Oh, no. Fuck yeah. Well, how are you going to have dogs running all over the airport? Every flight has three dogs on it. How are you not going to have a place in the airport for them to shit and wait till the fucking boutiques open up for the dogs?
Wait, do they shit with the smokers?
Cinnabow. Wow. No, seriously. There's going to open. There's going to be bars and shit for dogs. There's going to be cafes for dogs. Why wouldn't somebody jump on that? If someone wanted me to invest in a doggy cafe at LAX, I would do it. I'd go, this is the fucking future. So goddamn sad. All right. Where were we? What's your problem?
Well, it's more of a design question, I think, than anything. But I was thinking about putting up some tile in the backsplash of my kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an all-white kitchen, pretty much. It's got white Corian countertops. You know how it comes with, like, the little 3.5-inch Corian backsplash?
Yeah. That's a synthetic plastic countertop from the 90s. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit of an older house. It was built in the late 90s, so it's perfectly appropriate back then.
Yeah.
I wanted to
with my 90s.
I wanted to. The question I have is: if I put up the tile, should I remove that little 3.5-inch backsplash and just take the tile all the way down to the countertop?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But I tell you,
wow, Ron, scary that you had to ask that. If you had kids, I'd take them away from you right now. What kind of question is that?
I have two of them, unfortunately.
How old are they?
I got a 15-year-old freshman in high school and a 13-year-old.
I'm taking them away when I get out to Chicago Park West coming up on the 31st.
Have them remove the
take them with me to Binnie's.
Yeah, teach them how to drink that Mangria stuff.
Yeah,
right?
They got
to
learn eventually. Might as well learn right.
When you're putting up the tile, though, should there be any special prep work on the mastic? I mean, because it's just like painted drywall right now.
Yeah, it's a backsplash. You're not. It's vertical. It's not horizontal. You're not setting anything down on it or walking on it or whatever, or hopping up on it. So, pop off that Corian, score it at the top with a knife. I'd do it anyway, and then pop it off. It'll be easier. Well, you know, and then use the mastic and
use the
pop
acrylic
the drywall
mastic.
On. Mm-hmm.
And then just bead the bottom where it meets the countertop. Put a good bead of caulking in there.
Ray,
so it won't wick up.
Would you put spacers, like 1/8-inch spacers there, and not set it down on the countertop?
I would definitely put a little spacer. But the tile usually has a built-in spacer. It's got
got that little nub, yeah.
But for the bottom course, I would throw some wedges in there just to ensure
that get it up off
get,
there
yeah.
So it's not sitting directly on there, so you put a nice caulking bead in there. Ah, ta-da, baby. Shopping online. Oh, yeah, it's convenient. You love the discounts. But the coupon codes, man, they don't work. So you're trying to save money. It just turns into a second job. So none of those things line up. Use Tada.com. That's TADA.com. They post when a coupon was last used and by verified buyer. So you know whether this thing is valid or not. You can be sure it actually works. They got coupons for 6,400 plus stores, electronics, clothes, vitamins, pet gear, etc. It's all there. So if you go shopping online, you want to check out Tada today. TADA.com. You start saving. Make sure all those codes and all those offers and all those money-saving things are all valid. TADA, Tada.com. The easiest way to save on your online purchase.
All ta-da!
Right. Ta-da! Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you so much for telling a friend and all the good stuff. Again, go to adamcarolla.com. You want to find out any live shows and all kind of good stuff. And let's get Ray a house, everybody.
Follow me. Say it. Come on. Twitter.
Yeah, follow Ray on Twitter.
Ray and Lorenzo.
And aceontheroof.com. Click the PayPal button. Show a little love. So until next time, Adam Carolla, Ray Oldhopper, Matt the Porsche Punisher, Fondelier, and Gary Hefner. Saying, mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.